Calling all high-achieving conscious women looking to take their personal growth journey to the next level. I've got an invitation just for you. Join me and an amazing team of women ready to hold space for you to restore, rejuvenate, and recharge amongst the beautiful pine trees this August 26th in Sainte-Lucie-des-Laurentides. Be a part of the inauguration of this newly built oasis designed to allow you to experience the healing powers of nature. Breathe deep and awaken your spirit through breathwork and lymphatic reset. Elevate your being through meditation. Discover your creative essence through art therapy. Rejuvenate your body with facial stretch and savor culinary delights from our Afro-vegan chef. So if you're ready to finally take time for yourself to recharge, rejuvenate, and restore, reach out to me on Instagram at Tanya Monuma. What if you, with purpose and mindfulness, decided to surround yourself with positivity? What if you walked away from negative energy? What if you were constantly the positive energy in every room you walked into until it became so contagious that you positively impacted everyone around you? How would that impact your life? You're listening to Compassionate Mindfulness with Xenia, the podcast that will inspire you to use your story to change the world. Thanks for tuning in to Compassionate Mindfulness with Xenia. This is your host, Tanya Monuma. I'm so grateful to have you here with me today to learn and grow. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you get any value at all out of this content, go ahead and share it with a friend or two. That is going to allow more people to join the conversation, and it will bring awareness to the importance of personal growth. On today's episode, we have Carrie Hone. Carrie is a dream analyst, artist, and expert on the Eastern and Western archetypes that inspire our dreams and oracles. Through her website, Café au Sol, she bridges the gap between an appreciation for nature and the spiritual journey. Want to find out what your dreams are telling you? Visit caféausol.com. Now, here is my conversation with Carrie Hone. So let us know, Carrie, where did it all begin for you? How did your journey start and how did you get inspired to do what you're doing?
Well, a large part of what I do is related to dreams, working with dreams. And honestly, I just was kind of born interpreting people's dreams. Like I was also more of like a poet, and I see dreams a lot like poetry because they speak in symbolic, emotionally, ways that really evoke emotion. And but I just kind of was, I kind of saw life as in two different ways, I felt like we spend so much time dreaming, almost as much time as we spend living, waking. And I really just sort of spent a lot of time studying comparative religion and mythology, studying symbols, getting more to where I could sort of interpret the dreamscape. And with the internet was awesome because it really put me in touch with people all over the world. And I've been doing this for decades, and to be able to observe really similar patterns in how people kind of get stuck in self-defeating ideas, and they'll have maybe a nightmare, which I always celebrate because it's kind of like an earthquake. Really, it releases power and energy. It's the first time that something that maybe was repressed starts to, try to come out and help us get back to our authenticity. And then I've seen like patterns that, we can have like bathroom dreams when we're trying to come clean or be honest, or the motivation dreams that we see a lot with vehicles, whether it's on a boat related to emotions, or someone's driving us in a car because we're kind of giving our power away, or even the dream of looking for our car and we can't find it in a parking lot. It's in a garage or something. It's very common. And I see that a lot when our motivation's on hold and we're making changes and wallets and things that relate to our identification, you know, show up when we're going through kind of like a identity switch, you know, in life. And so I see these patterns and I, what, you know, and that's what, where I kind of got more into the archetypes. So I think if you've been to my website, you'll see that for people that don't remember their dreams, which is a lot of people, because we're really, it's two different sides of the brain. We can talk about that. But I have the I Ching, which captures archetypes from the Eastern world, and Tarot, which captures them from the Western mythologies. And people can kind of have a private conversation with the oracles that I've found seem to give the same information as if they brought a dream and we work together to interpret it.
That's amazing. There's a few things that caught my attention. Is one of them, you were saying that we dream almost as much as we are awake. And when you say that, do you include daydreaming? Is that something that...
Well, if you add daydreaming, then mm-hmm. I would say that we're in that phase, like way more than we're consciously in, you know, in our observation, right? Like, I think studies show that we sort of lapse into daydream a lot yeah. throughout the day. So no, I mean, I see that we are like conscious and going about this world the way we see it, the way we believe it is, the story we tell, the whole, you know, thing that we call waking life. Probably just a little bit longer than the time that we spend dreaming, but it's almost half. Yeah. And if you do add that daydreaming, you know, there's a difference between daydreaming and dreaming, in that daydreaming, it, you know, is similar, because ideas that we don't seek to pull out of ourselves may just sort of rear up and show us something, right? Which is kind of what dreams do. Sort of creatively, maybe we get some inspiration or something, you know, sort of starts as an emotion and it works yeah. its way into sort of an idea. And then, you know, we work with it and we see that there's maybe a message to break through. So daydreaming, you know, can be really similar. And I think daydreaming adds a lot to our creativity.
Yeah. You know? And deep sleep dreaming, do you think, for your line of work, every single dream has an interpretation? Is that it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And every single person every night dreams, whether they remember them or not, because REM, rapid eye movement, which is, you know, we all experience when we go into that, those deep sleep states that where we are basically dreaming, our yeah. eyelids start to quiver because we are, you know, and I'll just explain too, that when we go into that stage of, you know, REM activity, our body is paralyzed. Nature designed us to have this paralytic feature, so we don't act out on our dreams, but we're not unconscious, like as if we went under an anesthesia or whatever, but we're not using parts of the brain that relate to logic, our sense of maybe what we call ego, which is really just kind of the embodiment of our defense mechanisms and survival instincts. But, you know, so these things that would say, no, this isn't logical, this can't make sense, those are all suppressed within the brain. And we're way more in our right brain. I mean, honestly, nobody really can describe exactly what consciousness is or what the brain's doing when we dream, and you know, but the consensus is we're spending a lot of time in a left brain orientation, where our language center is, where our, you know, kind of routine, and we dream in the right brain, which is more holistic, it's more emotionally driven, it's symbolic, you know, creative. And so we're kind of dreaming in the right, and then we start to wake up into the left, and we sort of lose that right. View of what we were seeing.
Yeah, that creativity and that freedom mm-hmm. and that wanting to, you know, make almost everything magical, right? It's uh-huh. dreams are quite magical. I find.
You know, what blows me away about dreams is how everybody has this enormous creativity. You know, when people tell me their dreams, and the way that like a very complex idea well, it'll sound really weird in whatever the imagery is. And they think, oh, that's just crazy. But it really, if you start peeling away the layers of it, there's so much rich information there. And their own mind, you know, came up with this really creative way of exploring a conflict, let's say, you know, and the other piece is that when you start working with people and they start really following their dreams, and the first time that they get a glimpse that some aspect of them, maybe their higher self, God, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, some aspect has got a view of where they're going, you know, it has information that would never be available to conscious awareness, you know, we have this like guide within us, you know what I mean? So that's how, that's always cool.
Yeah, I'd love for you to maybe dive into one of maybe your sessions where somebody has divulged something in a dream and you've interpreted for that person and they're like, wow, that's spot on. Or maybe they've acted on it, or they've said, oh, wow, okay, that's what that means. Something that, that you've came across and that was mm-hmm. kind of really interesting.
Okay. Well, I had a client that was Jewish, but grew up kind of in a family that came from the Holocaust. And for some reason, all of her Jewishness was repressed where they lived as they moved around. So she basically became more of like a Christian. And, you know, a lot of her dreams in the beginning were very taking baths or bugs coming out of the faucets or, you know, kind of this dirtiness, you know, that, and so some of the imagery started before I even knew what the issue was. You know, I started to see that, wow, there's like this sense of identity that's dirty, or, you know, and so as we kind of worked through it, you know, you start to see that whatever we're repressing, you know, I've had other situations with a lot of very successful women who will have a stalker dream, somebody trying to break into their house, and they'll have it over and over because maybe when they were young, they were the caregiver to the caregiver and they were like always fighting or sparring with the mom. And so they have this identity that's maybe a black sheep or has a sense that it's bad. You know, so you see this kind of whether it's sort of the side of us that really wants to just come in and sleep in its own bed, the stalker, it's us. You know, it's a dark side that we need to bring into the light and embrace. Obviously, we have great caregiving skills. We took care of all of our siblings. Or in the case with the, you know, Jewish woman, I watched her go through, you know, the awakening into the symbolism that helped her recognize how her own guidance felt that this is a very important part of her authenticity. Not from, you know, judgment, you know, religion, whatever. It's just a part of her authenticity. And in that particular case, I actually watched how synchronicities at play. So as she would work through something in the dreamscape, she was, you know, because I was doing three, you know, this real comprehensive dream work once a week where they report back. I allow the dreams to give me the questions to ask somebody, you know. But what I was seeing is that the synchronicity then becomes sort of like initiation. Something we're working through in the dreamscape seems to find a way into experiential reality in about 7 to 10 days or something. And we actually get an opportunity to prove whether we've broken through whatever that challenge was.
Yeah, it's almost like it's trying to guide you. And once it realizes that you're aware, it starts showing you stuff. In the real world.
Exactly. Right. And so I think she got confronted on something where she had to say whether she was Jewish or not. You know, like it was just, I was just watching the dream, you know, so synchronicity for somebody who isn't really watching their dreams, they may just have a sense of, wow, this feels really familiar, you know, and this is going to happen next. It might be deja vu, you know. Synchronicity is like something happening in the outer world that seems like it came from inside, or I had a flash of that beetle, which is from like Jung's work, you know. There was some scarab beetle that he was working with a patient on, and it flew into the window while the lady was on his couch, you know, or, you know, these synchronicities. If you don't know your dreams, you don't know what that initiation or synchronicity is all about, you know. So, mm-hmm. And I do find that when people do start to work with their dreams and see the relevance, because, you know, I talk about the ABCs of dream interpretation. You know, it's always about me, and, you know, don't overanalyze. Everything's a reflection of you. And even those weird, like, whether it's snowing outside or dark or any, everything is reflecting the condition of your inner landscape. But a lot of times in these really clever ways that the mind is packaging different ideas into this one morsel, you know, like a little boy in a pumpkin or something, or whatever it is, you know, it seems bizarre. So we wake up and go, oh, that was just nonsense. When I dream, I'm just doing nonsense. But if you really like work with the symbol and what does that represent, the orphan or the, you know, and you start to see that, wow, there's some enlightenment or guidance here. You have more respect for it. And then you seem to remember your dreams, you know, and yeah, I see that a lot.
There's so many things that feel like it doesn't make sense in a dream. You're able to, from what I'm understanding, interpret what those things that may feel weird mean, right? So is that what you kind of do? You decipher what it means and you're able to translate it to the person?
Exactly. Because, and I always say that there's always an aha in a dream. So, and usually the aha is the portion of the dream that is the most bizarre. That is the portion that's offering these cryptic clues that would, if we understood what it is, you know, we would have a sense of, wow, yeah. I didn't see it that way. You know, so the more bizarre, you know, like for example, I mean, we could talk about dreams forever. There's so many, you know, so much to it. Yeah. But, you know, like there's the idea that everybody's psyche has both a feminine and a masculine quality, you know, and a man who is in, for the first time, moving into kind of more of an emotional way of relating it to life, might have a dream of a woman who's a little bit nutty, the crazy witch or something, I don't know, you know, and she's really, because that's his first idea of what emotions are. Like, I'm a man, I shouldn't feel. So, you know, but then, you know, as you work through it a lot, then it becomes sort of the intercourse, which is always the merging of these different sides. And in the same way, like a woman that would be dreaming of a man, when I see that in the dream, it immediately makes me think, oh, she's looking at something related to asserting herself, work, you know, because her masculine side maybe comes from ideas from father, or, you know, you need to stand up and, you know, take care of yourself. And so you start to just see when you're working with dreams, you can kind of get, you know, if somebody's dreaming of a house, I know, okay, there's some paradigm investigation going on. Maybe it's a familiar house from childhood, but it has a room that has these exotic, you know, tapestries on the wall. And, you know, so, but they may be exploring a more grounded, wild side of their own paradigm.
Yeah. You know, I can imagine too that any given dream can have different meanings. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, you'll see a house and the tapestry looks wild and stuff, and it could mean one thing, but it could mean another. Is that right? Or,
well, I mean, obviously, I've had a dream dictionary online forever. I've written a lot of books about dream interpretation. I see thematic, like here's a really crazy one. When somebody tells me something's on the right side versus the left side, I know that the right side is kind of the way that they're told it should be. You know, the left side is the road less traveled. So right. A lot of times there's cues on the left. So from that standpoint, you know, I see these things that are repetitive over all these years of working with people. So I have a pretty good sense. But are dreams unique to the individual? Absolutely. An orange is going to mean something completely different from one person to the next, you know,
right.
Like what is their association with the orange? So part of dream interpretation isn't just, oh, yes, you know, let me just tell you what that means. You know, it's like kind of, and again, when I'm working with people, I'm generally getting a sense of what I think the dream's saying. And then I just ask the questions.
Right.
You know, like as if the dream says, well, ask him this. And sometimes, I know it's crazy, but sometimes when I start working with somebody, the first things I start seeing in the dream are things that are like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Somebody's finally listening. Like, oh, this, you know, like there's so much was come pouring out.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, as you know, the Compassionate Mindfulness podcast is dedicated to changing our narrative in order to change our life. And so I'm curious to know a little more about how your mind works. If you could give us a tour of what your mindset is like, how do you view the world around you?
Okay. So I am very, like, I believe that dreaming is an evolutionary mechanism that we as human beings, which we are not no more special than any other of nature's species or processes, you know, it just, you know, I believe that we've been designed to evolve. There's like the yang of the day goes into the yin of the night, where we undo some of the ideas that are self-limiting. We grow, we evolve, we get stronger, we get better. You know, I believe that, you know, the change in how nature created its first entities through binary fission, which means it's like the way bacteria just divide and become the complete replica of what they are, like with no changes. When it went into sexual reproduction, it kind of unleashed all kinds of possibilities. And why I say that is it shows me that each of us, even the little bug that's flying around today, everything that was created today is the best version of what nature can create. And we are different from our siblings. We're different from our parents. We have a genetic makeup that makes us, you know, we're an example of nature trying to explore the best of what it can become. So with that being said, I have a very strong appreciation for what nature can teach us about finding joy. And, you know, I feel like when I look at the weather systems, the way that the hot pulls the cold, the high brings the low up, the low brings out, you know, everything in nature is about balancing out its extremes. And so in the same way, you know, when we meet each other, we can be full of compassion. They can be having, you know, anger. Like, nature's bringing these opposites together to find a balance. So it's not good or bad. It's just the way that nature achieves the best that it can be. And even when you look at like natural disasters, that's just nature trying to get back to the optimal temperature, you know. So with that being said, I'm very joyful. You know, I'm just glad to be a part of knowing how to not, you know, like some of what I write a lot about is Taoism. And I've got a translation of the Tao Te Ching and the I Ching on my website. I actually have the number one I Ching in terms of searches and stuff. And I really appreciate the Taoist ideas of, you know, not taking the lead, you know, not being in control, being the guest, like letting go, being like, the more that you can be in that frame of mind, the more you can see just how everything's flowing perfectly. And even if we can't see it right now, if we eventually like will, you know. And so I kind of just teach people, like, you know, to find tranquility and disturbance and to hover at the doorway of perception. Not rush out there, not push, not react, you know, just be in this now and watch, because it's the most amazing place when you can truly see this mystery, the way nature is making everything stronger and better. It's something to see.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to witness. I love it.
I do believe that, just like you, that nature has so many lessons in how, you know, the trees grow and how the wind makes a bamboo that much stronger, and how just nature is full of learning opportunities. And you're right, we have to live in the moment in order to see how beautiful all of it really is. So thank you.
I mean, just as like a meditative exercise of wonder, you know, can you be in the consciousness of a tree? Just because we experience time like through movement, you know, quick movement or whatever, the tree has its own sense of time. It's every bit as much aware. It's got survival instincts. It's communicating underground with the, you know, other branches or roots, or, you know, every plant is pushing towards the sun to get what it needs to survive. And even though we would say a tree's not conscious or think we're somehow smarter than a tree. Like, be in tree consciousness. I mean, I know that may sound like woo-woo, but I think that there is so much. So even a rock, like how long, what amount of time, what is it like to sit in one spot for billions of years? Like,
yeah,
what can that teach you?
When we think about it, and a lot of the so-called woo-woo stuff is now beginning to, you know, blend into the sciences and stuff. So
exactly.
You're allowed to be woo-woo in this podcast because I love it.
Awesome.
But yeah, the conscious mind and how we are all so connected is something that's always been very fascinating to me. And the level of respect that we need to have for everything around us, I think is a testament to how our world is going right now and how we need to, there needs to be a switch. There needs to be more people that are conscious of all of the beautiful things around us and how we're kind of intertwined. From the rock to the tree to the desk to the, you know, to everything around us. If we treat it with a certain level of respect, I think our world would be,
better. but, you know, I mean, like even during the COVID crisis, I feel like it really taught us all something. And we all probably got a little more, you know, connected to
conscious
our authenticity. And
Yeah, there's a switch for sure.
And so, like, you know, the idea that we could ever destroy this thing that's been here for billions of years. Yeah, no, I don't think we can. What we'll destroy ourselves. And I think that, you know, that will become apparent. We'll die before the earth ever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, and that's where I would like not, again, not take the lead, not judge, you know, because all that does is gives you anxiety. You want to control, you want everybody to think like you. It's just not that way. There's a cloud that's a different shape than that cloud. But somehow they work together to create like rain from Africa to, you know, the East Coast of the United States. Or like you have to just trust that, just like the COVID thing, nature subtly is changing us, you know, into a more cooperative species. I might
absolutely
describe it.
Yeah. That being said, what is the impact you're looking to create?
You know, my website, Cafe Au Sol, it was really like created. I see it as like a light on in the dark for people that are challenged by sadness or lost or whatever. Like, I just like to provide this. I've always been kind of technical. So like a lot of the things that I've created it's like I offer self-help through my online tools, let's say. And, you know, people write me all the time and it's so rewarding. The space that I wanted to create is exactly what they discover. So that, you know, it's not like I'm trying to change people into anything. I'm trying to create a space for them to explore what life means to them. And you know, and I'd say if there's one word that's important to me, it's authenticity. You know, only you know what it means to be fearlessly yourself. And the only way you can be fearlessly yourself is to be fearless, you know, to explore. And you know, one thing too I always say is like, if we this kind of goes to the compassion idea, often we don't really discover who we are and what we're capable of until we're called to serve another, you know, like by saying yes. If we use yes as the only word we know in our vocabulary, life completely changes. And when someone needs us and we put ourselves out there to help them, a little bit of us grows and becomes more creative or more interesting. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely it does. And that's a testament to the impact you are making in this world and you're wanting for people to find their authenticity and in that, you know, become the best version of themselves. That's what I'm hearing from that. Yeah. That's beautiful. Tell us where we can go to find out more about your amazing services.
Okay. Well, on my website, you can pretty much find everything. That's Cafe Au Sol. You can type a dream in the dream section, you type into a cloud and it will give you a list of symbols and things that you wouldn't have even thought to look up. Like I was saying, the right or the left, like placement and orientation, nighttime in a dream or daytime. So it sort of interprets it for you or gives you, you know, ideas that you wouldn't have explored. And if you're not remembering your dreams, you can go to the I Ching, which is like working with a Zen master. You know, the way that it seems to interact with people, its logic and its comfort and its way of helping people, you know, find their way through something.
That's amazing. I didn't even know you had like a little section where you can type in your dreams. I'm one of those who very rarely remembers my dream. So as soon as I remember any one of my dreams, I'm coming straight to your website to type in and to see what it means.
Yeah. And in that way, I would say, don't wake up really fast. Like, just try to even get one symbol. You don't have to have the whole dream. One symbol the message seems to repeat itself throughout different, you know, landscapes. And just one symbol to kind of start working with that. Mm-hmm. I have a channel on YouTube, Nature is a Guru, which, you know, is different ways of like some of these things, ideas I was talking about, nature and what it teaches us about the human journey. But all of that can be found on my website, Cafe Au Soul.
Yes, perfect. That's beautiful. I'm going to put that in the show notes for everybody to see. Go ahead and ask Carrie what your dream is all about. Is it you who responds when?
No, that's what I'm saying. I use technology.
Right. Okay.
Everything is, it's all self-help. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much for your time, Carrie. I like to be very mindful of people's times, and you've given us such great information. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, having me on your show. And it was very nice to meet you.
Of course. Thank you. I truly hope you got value out of this episode. And before I go, I want to remind you that if you or someone you know is looking to escape from the hustle and bustle of every day and immerse yourself into the healing properties of nature, I, along with an amazing team of women, will be holding space at the first edition of A Journey Back to Your Senses. This first retreat is for women looking to find peace and escape from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. It will include breathwork, meditation, art therapy, water activities, mindful walks, and I have to apologize because I said hiking last episode, and amazing Afro-vegan food. For more details on how to register for this event, follow me on Instagram at Tanya_Monuma. Due to the nature of this first event, we are only receiving a limited number of guests. And so if you are at all interested in joining me along with the amazing team of women who will be serving alongside with me, don't hesitate to send me a DM and I will forward all the information to you. The places are running out quickly. However, I will have a waitlist going on and I will also have other events coming up shortly. I truly hope you got value out of this episode and I look forward to holding space for you very soon. Continue to live with mindfulness and compassion. Never stop learning and growing. And if you did get any value out of this episode, leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And share it with a friend or two, which will allow for more people to join the conversation. Visit me on Instagram and start your own conversation. Many blessings to you. As always, I thank you for tuning in. These episodes are meant to be of massive value to you, and so I hope you got something out of it. And if you did, all I ask in return is for you to give it a thumbs up, give it some love in the reviews, share with one or two friends whom you know will benefit from hearing this content. Check out the links in the description. Continue to lead with empathy, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Many blessings. This podcast is presented to you solely for educational purposes. It is not intended to be a substitute for the advice of a medical or other qualified professional.